From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites Japan to invest in Natuna. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi calls UNSC President wants tension reduced. And now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo invites Japanese businessman through Japanese Foreign Minister Motegi Toshimitsu to invest in Natuna Regency Riau Islands. The invitation was conveyed by President Jokowi when receiving the Japanese Foreign Minister at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Friday. Jokowi appreciates the Indonesian-Japan cooperation in Natuna that has been established, namely the development of integrated marine and fishery centers for the first phase. The President hopes that the funding proposal for the second phase can be followed up immediately. On this occasion, President Jokowi welcomed Japanese Foreign Minister and his entourage. President Jokowi said, as a foreign minister with an economic background, he would certainly give a lot of attention to economic diplomacy. According to Jokowi, Japan is one of Indonesia's main partners. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi called Vietnam Foreign Minister Phan Binh Minh in the country's capacity as President of the United Nations Security Council, UNSC, to encourage the institution for reducing current global tension. Marsudi tweeted her expectation from Vietnam to play its role in urging related parties to refrain from unwanted measures to avoid escalating conflicts. Indonesian Permanent Representative for United Nations Dian Triansyah Jani stated at the Foreign Affairs Ministry office in Jakarta Thursday, Vietnam was chosen as one of the non-permanent members of UNSC for the period of 2020 to 2021 and will undertake its presidency through January 2020. This move by Indonesia as a member of UNSC showed its role in peace diplomacy. The assassination of Iran's military commander Qasem Soleimani earlier this month in a drone strike by the United States at Baghdad Airport, Iraq, has triggered the escalation of tension in the global community. Iran launched some strikes on several U.S. military bases in Iraq late Tuesday to early Wednesday, January 7 and 8. At least 24 missiles were launched during that time. On the same day, U.S. President Donald Trump stated that the U.S. had pulled back its new military service in Iraq after no Americans fell victim in the missiles attacks. Lawmakers approved legislation on Thursday which will allow Britain to leave the European Union on January 31st with an exit deal ending more than 3 years of tumult over the terms of the unprecedented divorce. They voted 330-231 in favor of the European Union Withdrawal Agreement Bill, which implements an exit deal agreed with the European Union last year that allows Prime Minister Boris Johnson to turn the page on one of Britain's deepest political crises in decades, putting an end to the fears of an immediate disorderly exit, which had cast a shadow over the economy and fueled divisions over the 2016 referendum decision to leave the European Union. Brexit Minister Stephen Barclay told lawmakers, "It is time to get Brexit done." The legislation now heads to Parliament's upper chamber and is expected to become law in the coming weeks, leaving enough time to allow Britain to leave at the end of the month with a deal to minimize economic disruption. More than 48,000 Peruvian servicemen will be deployed to ensure the protection of polling places during the upcoming general election scheduled for January 28. It was stated by Peruvian Defense Minister Walter Matos Ruiz late Thursday during the meeting with members of the Central Election Commission, as quoted by the commercial news outlet. He stressed that the main goal of the army would be to ensure transparency of the upcoming election. In early October, Peruvian President Martin Vizcarra dissolved the Congress after lawmakers boycotted his call to change the procedure in which judges are appointed to the Constitutional Tribunal, the main institution that regulates disputes between the executive and legislative branches. Vizcarra interpreted the move as a motion of no confidence and dissolved the legislature, which responded by declaring him temporarily unfit to govern and appointing Vice President Mercedes Arauz as acting head of state. Arauz, however, announced her resignation after the Peruvian military and police pledged their loyalty to Vizcarra. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has offered Singapore investors to invest in a number of sectors in Indonesia's new capital city in East Kalimantan Province. Among the investment opportunities open to investors in the new capital city are alternative energy, startup, and hospital, he said while addressing the Pulse of Asia Conference 2020 organized by Bank DBS in Singapore on Thursday. He said in a written statement that investment opportunities in the education sector are also widely open. The government intends to narrow the gap between education in Western Indonesia and Eastern Indonesia in terms of quality. He said the Indonesian government is in the process of drafting two omnibus laws concerning the creation of job opportunities and taxation. The bills will be submitted to the House of Representatives DPR early this year. Negotiation on Comprehensive Economic Cooperation Agreement or CEPA between Indonesia and Turkey has run since 3 years ago, but until now there is no significant development in the discussing process. It was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to Turkey, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Thursday in Jakarta. According to Ambassador Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, the CEPA between Indonesia and Turkey is expected to be completed this year because Indonesia competes with a number of countries in economic relations with Turkey.
We are competing with some other countries, and those competitors have finalized their CEPA, their FTA with Turkey 2-3 years ago. To name a few, like Malaysia, for example, they have finalized their FTA with Turkey in 2015. And the impact to us, the immediate impact to us, is because it's the shifting of market segment. For example, in palm oil, we used to have 80% of the market segment in Turkey. And Malaysia had only 20% of the market segment. And now, after the FTA has been signed by the two countries, now we have only 20% and Malaysia have more than 80%. So if we can finalize by this year or next year, at least we can have 50-50%. It means 50% means a potential of around $300 million.
Ambassador Lalu Muhammad Iqbal mentioned that Indonesia and Turkey still have potential to increase the economic cooperation between the two countries. One of them is creative industry sector. According to the ambassador, this sector can give added value for trade cooperation of the two countries and open new opportunities for cooperation between the two countries. Indonesian Ambassador to Russia and Belarus, Wahid Supriyadi, in Jakarta on Thursday, invites entrepreneurs in Indonesia to know more about market potential in Russia. In a special interview with Voice of Indonesia at Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry Jakarta Thursday, the ambassador said one of the challenges in developing economic cooperation between Indonesia and Russia is lack of knowledge among Indonesian entrepreneurs on market potential in Russia. Ambassador Wahid said that Russian people have always welcomed exhibitions on Indonesian potentials held by the Indonesian embassy in Russia. This must be followed up by continuously introducing the Indonesian potentials. Ambassador Wahid Supriyadi also invites entrepreneurs in Indonesia to invest in Russia due to huge potential in Russia.
The biggest problem for us is our ignorance. Not many people in Indonesia know the potential of Russia. Don't forget, Russia is one of the 5 members of Euro-Asian Economic Union, a market of 180 million people. Look at the potential of Russia by investing in Russia. It's like this is something also encouraged by President Jokowi, what we call it outbound investment. And the potential is there.
Earlier, President Joko Widodo in his direction before some Indonesian ambassadors in Jakarta said that currently Indonesian foreign diplomacy is focusing on the economic diplomacy. According to the president, the ambassadors play their roles as investment envoys for which they need to acknowledge investment opportunities which can be used to support economic development in Indonesia. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invites Japan to invest in Natuna. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi calls UNSC president and wants tension reduced. And listener, that's the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here's today's commentary. Today's commentary is titled 4.0 Technology Implementation in Agricultural Industry Needs Government's Full Support. To increase agriculture production in Indonesia requires technology, especially for quality and competitiveness. Agriculture sector must use the 4.0 technologies. As an agrarian country with most population working in agricultural sector, with third biggest contribution towards the gross domestic product right after manufacturing and trade, according to the Central Statistics Agency in 2019, Indonesia is timely to apply the 4.0 technologies in agriculture. The aim is to increase quality and quantity as well as resource usage efficiency. The use of 4.0 technologies in agriculture includes artificial intelligence, robot, Internet of Things, drone, blockchain, and analytic big data to produce superior precision, efficient, and sustainable product. Then, there is the question. How far is the 4.0 technology implementation in Indonesian agricultural sector? Indonesian government keeps encouraging the use of 4.0 technologies in agriculture. Several innovations such as Smart Greenhouse app had been created and developed by the government through Agriculture Ministry. This app uses Internet of Things or IoT principles. With this innovation, every activity that affects plant growth is controlled online by using artificial intelligence. There is also Smart Irrigation System, which also uses AI-based IoT. This innovation is applied through underground irrigation for dry lands. It controls soil moisture with artificial intelligence so that the land is not dry anymore and it becomes moist adjusted to the plant's need. Another innovation that is the use of autonomous technology on automatic tractor. With AI in it, the farmer can control tractor working pattern intelligently. Therefore, they can control the machine without entering the field. However, there are still several challenges in implementing or applying the 4.0 technologies for agriculture in Indonesia. One of them is access to technology. Well, the technology is available in Indonesia, but the farmers, especially the conventional ones in rural areas, are financially limited. Advanced technology devices are obviously not cheap. And to overcome technology literacy issue, the government needs to provide proper education for conventional farmers. Besides that, intensive guidance is also needed through training and information centers. And listener, that was commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from an information on a legend comic about a journalist, Teng Teng, was published for the first time in Belgium. The story of Teng Teng comic previously only appeared in additional edition of Le Vingtième Siècle in Belgium. With interesting and funny story of adventure of a young journalist accompanied by a white dog, Teng Teng's comic has brought idea and fresh entertainment to the readers. The stories, which are presented by illustrator Georges Remy with pseudonym Ears, took many inspirations from articles and photographs from various sources. One of the titles of Teng Teng Adventures is Flight 714, which took setting on an island in Indonesia. The next event was in 1920, the establishment of League of Nations. League of Nations was established after the World War I in a bid to accommodate the interests of the nations and to maintain world peace. The establishment of the League was initiated by the US President Woodrow Wilson in the peace agreement in Versailles. But the United States did not join in the League. 42 countries became members when the League was established. Among 23 countries still survived as members until the League was dismissed in 1945. The last event was in 1966, demonstration action of student with Tritura. After political conflict in September 1965, and also communist issue which hit Indonesia, thousands of students who were joined in Unity of Indonesian Student Action, KAMI, staged in demonstration starting in Jakarta on January 10, 1966. The action was known with the name Tritura, or People's Three Demands, containing of first dismissing Communist Party of Indonesia, second changing Dwi Kora cabinet, and third decreasing the prices. The action that spread out throughout Indonesia finally forced President Sukarno to issue Surat Perintah 11 Maret, or Order of March 11, which delegated full authority to the Lieutenant General Suharto to take action in a bid to restore situation throughout Indonesia. That was Today in History.
Kau tak tahu betapa rapuhnya aku, pakailah
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Chambers of Commerce and Industry Support Foreign Ministry Economic Diplomacy. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, KADIN, supports the implementation of economic diplomacy initiated by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs through the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding on cooperation to build synergies to increase trade and investment. The MOU, which was signed in 2011, was extended and renewed by Indonesian KADIN Chairperson Rosan Ruslani and Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi on the silence of the Indonesian Foreign Minister annual press statement 2020 in Jakarta on Wednesday. Rosan, through his written statement on Wednesday, January 8, said his party renewed the Memorandum of Understanding by referring to the development of conditions that are currently happening. According to him, the urgency of cooperation to achieve the objectives of Indonesia's economic diplomacy in foreign countries is already very high. The development of the international economy was increasingly full of challenges, and it was very important to secure a strategy to make Indonesia part of the world's five largest economies in a period of 20 years. According to Rosan, his office will encourage trade and investment improvement both domestically and abroad for the benefit of the Indonesian economy. Along with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, KADIN will conduct Indonesia's economic diplomacy activities in accreditation countries and compile a more credible and actual database to support these activities. KADIN's Deputy Chairperson for International Relations, Sinta Kamdani, said that her party would plan and carry out joint activities systematically, exchange information about business potentials, as well as increase Indonesia's competitiveness in the international market. Sinta said, business actors need to conduct an in-depth study of general and sectoral issues, particularly regarding investment and trade. According to him, to encourage trade and investment, there must also be made a reformation to public and private institutions, which are responsible for promotion, trade and investment through studies and strengthening market research. This effort, including promotion, intelligent markets, data collection, and information on non-tariff barriers. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Dia tahu apa yang telah terjadi semenjak hari itu hati ini miliknya. Dia jatuh hati seperti apa yang ku rasa. Mungkinkah dia jatuh cinta seperti apa yang tahu.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you about Cindo Langko, a typical culinary of Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra. West Sumatra is not only famous for its natural beauty. The province is also known as culinary paradise. When you're traveling to Ranah Minang, not only rendang you can find, you will often taste cindua langkok. The name cindua langkok means complete cendol. Cendol is a kind of beverage made of rice flour, served with liquid brown sugar and coconut milk. The name cindua langkok because it has more complete and various mixed ingredients. The cindua or cendol is made of sugar palm sago flour, then it is mixed with rice flour, then added with food coloring, produce red color. Besides being red, cindua is also made in green using pandan leaf or suji leaf. Cindua langkok is served gradually, first filling ampiang made of glutinous rice, gulo anau or diluted palm sugar, cindua that has been cooked with coconut milk, lopis and durian depends on the taste. The cindua then added with shaved ice because cindua langkok is usually served cold. When it is enjoyed, cindua langkok feels sweet and fresh. The sweet taste is so natural because it comes from palm sugar. Cindua langkok also feels savory and there is a crunchy sensation from the grated coconut flesh. You can easily find this beverage in Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra, especially during fasting month of Ramadan, because cindua langkok is usually enjoyed as a fast-breaking menu. This typical Bukit Tinggi beverage can be found in traditional market, for example in Los Lambuang of Lereng Market area. The price is relatively cheap, around 8,000 rupiah to 10,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that's the end of Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Cindua Langkok from Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Hello listeners, welcome back in Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about UMM students create a smart system to detect forest fires. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Three students of Informatics Engineering Study Program at University of Muhammadiyah, Malang, East Java, discovered a smart system of technology integrated forest fire management system, a tool that utilizes artificial intelligence technology to detect forest fires. According to data from the Ministry of Environment and Forestry in 2018, the area of forest fire land in Indonesia reaches 93.5 million hectares. Besides Brazil, Indonesia is also the biggest contributor to the world oxygen content and is often referred to as the world's lungs. Indonesia is the third largest country in the world with tropical forests. However, forest fires, whether they occurred due to the dry season or illegal land clearing, become an unfinished problem. The innovation findings of students who were guided by the lecturer of the Faculty of Engineering, Nur Hayatin, are predicted to be able to reduce the expansion of the impact of fires. These findings have been registered in the Constructive Futuristic Student Creativity Program. The innovations are in the form of temperature and flame temperature. When there is a fire, the sensor will detect automatically. Next, the system will give an order to pump water to be sprayed to the point of fire, where the water is obtained from making natural dew water reservoirs using dew harvesters through a net. Dew that has been harvested will be sprayed for a certain period of time, which will then be rechecked to the ambient temperature. If the high temperature is still detected, the sprayer will be reactivated. However, if the sensor detects a category of high-level forest fires, the system will automatically send a fire location signal to the central computer. Therefore, there will not be a much bigger fire. Furthermore, the results of the dew harvest will be cancelled to the water tank as a shelter. That was Miscellany for today about UMM students create a smart system to detect forest fires. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Thanks for listening.
Kau tahu bahwa harus memilikimu. Tapi bolehkah ku selalu di dekatmu? Ada ruang hatiku, kini kau sentuh.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from North Sumatra entitled Tilo Tilo. The song tells about someone who is always lucky, an Indonesian singer, Mega Sihombing, who got married with an Italian man. Mauro Golla rearranged Tilo Tilo in pop genre without eliminating the characteristic of typical music of Batak, namely Gondang Sambilan. The marriage is confirmed not only through document but also through music. This couple released an album in Indonesian in 2015 entitled Mega Mauro. Their names are not quite well known in Indonesian music industry, but musical history has noted their names as musicians who are able to collaborate with various genres. Here is Mega Mauro with the song entitled Tilo Tilo.
Sejarah
Voice of Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Oh,
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.